This is Radio Energy News.
Hello, it's 4 p.m. and this is Radio Energy News. I'm Molly Marchant, and in today's programme we'll be discussing a number of stories, including... Breaking news. Councillors have voted today in Edinburgh to extend the city's tram service from the city centre to New Haven. The decision, described as momentous for the city, has been debated on for months and will see up to 3 years of construction work go ahead.
Eyes to the right, 164. The noes to the left, 374. So the noes have it. The noes have it. Unlock!
MPs will be voting on whether to extend Article 50 tonight, possibly delaying the UK's exit from the EU until June as the pressure on the Prime Minister to deliver on Brexit heightens even more. Plus, it's just been announced today that the government will also vote tonight on whether or not the public should be given a second referendum on Brexit. MSPs have called for more research to be carried out into the link between social media and mental health issues in young people. This comes after Holyrood's Public Audit Committee found a significant increase in the number of teens experiencing problems with their mental health. And the boss of the Edinburgh Fringe has asked local residents to consider providing housing to non-local performers in an effort to cut down on the cost of running the Fringe. Edinburgh City Council discussed plans to expand the tram line from the city centre to New Haven. Supporters of the plan believed expansion must correlate in order to match the city's growth rate. Leith, however, thinks differently. The pushback against the expansion has been very firm.
Go ahead and bankrupt the city, you haven't got a clue. You're already over budget, it's cost £1 billion and still rising. You're an absolute disgrace. If your party won't be in election when the tram is delivered, you'll be out.
A spectre is haunting Edinburgh. The prospect of Edinburgh's tram extension is a controversial subject, leaving many impassioned, as just heard from the protester in the city chambers today. Yesterday, Edinburgh City Council Transport Committee confirmed plans to expand the tram line from the city centre to New Haven, and the final verdict will be issued today. The proposed investment of £207 million into the extension has evoked a wide response from local business owners affected by the shutdown of Leith Walk.
Both points of view, I can see why they really need to extend the tram line because it's not really doing much at the moment. Last time there was roadworks here because of the tram works, it was absolute chaos and my takings must have dropped by about 30 or 40%. So.
Also, Brian, a charity shop manager, was equally opposed to the extension.
£200 million is going to have to be paid back at some time. Is the tram's going to be able to do it under its own steam? How is it going to affect the bus services? As you know, the bus services are going to have to donate £20 million towards the cost already. £100 million being spent for a 3-mile railway or a train set. I fail to see how it's going to bring as much investment into the area, the Leith, Edinburgh and New Haven area, as the organisers and the people involved seem to think.
Driving instructor Margaret also pointed towards the short-term negative effects for her business.
We're very much against the trams because we had this years ago when they had dug up the road many, many times. We had about a year of disruption the last time. It was terrible. I don't see why they're spending all that money on trams. We need it more on education and health. It's a disgrace. They're not thinking about the shop owners in Leith Walk. The last time they did this, people went out of business in Leith Walk as well. It's a disgrace, actually. They should be supporting the small businesses in Leith, and instead they're making them leave their premises because of this.
Discussions of this topic have enveloped council city chambers, and due to the high volume of councillors wishing to contribute, proceedings have had to be extended. In general, the verdict leans towards supporting the motion. Through the alliance between Labour, Lib Dems and the Green Party, Councillor Ricky Henderson had this to say.
I want to see the project going ahead. I understand that there are risks involved and obviously lessons learned from the last project. And I think the benefits, though, for the city in the longer term are worth those risks. And I think the good people of Leith and North Edinburgh are entitled to see that project completed and to bring about the economic benefits and the environmental benefits to their communities.
And finally, local radio show host and business owner Bob Baird weighed in on the economic prospects of the extension.
The thing that worries me more is the fact that the costings already have gone up from what they said it was going to be. In the short term, it's going to be very, very difficult for traders on Leith Walk, and not just Leith Walk, but the surrounding areas, because there's going to be so much traffic chaos.
A campaign has launched for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival Society, which calls for Edinburgh residents to host fringe performers in their homes. This is to combat the rising costs of accommodation for fringe performers. Our correspondent Brendan Duggan reports.
Edinburgh residents are being encouraged to provide accommodation for artists performing in the 2019 Fringe Festival. The Edinburgh Fringe Festival is one of the largest arts festivals in the world, which takes place during summer each year and brings in an estimated £200 million for Scotland. Scotland's capital is also known for its high price of accommodation. As a result, the Edinburgh Fringe Society has partnered up with Theatre Degsbroker to try offer artists a more affordable alternative throughout the city. Theatre Degsbroker was set up in 2010 as a platform which is exclusively for artists seeking accommodation throughout the UK. Nearly 100 private hosts have signed up on theatredegsbroker.com in the Edinburgh area. Lisa Benson, along with her husband, were touring performers when they established theatredegsbroker.com. Lisa reveals why they decided to start the campaign.
Then we both personally been up to Edinburgh and put on a show. And at that point, this is possibly 10 years ago when I went to Edinburgh with a show, we were a company of 20, and we all 20 of us stayed in, I think it was 3 rooms, purely because of the rising cost of accommodation at that time. And of course, that was 10 years ago, and those costs have gone up exponentially over the years, and therefore that poses a problem to participants. That is probably the biggest problem for participants visiting the Fringe, is the rising cost of accommodation. And as such, Edinburgh Fringe and Theatre Degsbroker have partnered up with an aim to make accommodation more affordable for touring or for participants of the Fringe.
Alice Robson from St Andrews has previously performed at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. As a young performer, Alice has had difficulties in seeking affordable accommodation in Edinburgh.
I think we started the search quite early to find a flat, so it was kind of okay, but the prices were like very expensive. It was for like staying for a month, it was I think £3,000 for like a 3-room flat, which was fine, but we needed a flat with like a lot more room, so it ended up being I think 5, like a tiny 3-bed flat essentially, which was quite a lot of money. And then I guess for this year it's been all right. We've kind of started the search like even earlier to try and make sure that we find somewhere, but it's definitely like becoming more of an issue, especially as the Fringe grows.
Alison Rogers from Edlets reveals that it's a lot harder for people looking for accommodation this year due to the changes to the short-term tenancy bill.
The private residential tenancy, the PRT, has now replaced the short assured and assured tenancies in Scotland. So it means that tenancies have no end date. So many students under the short assured tenancy used to leave in June, and landlords would let out their flat for short-term lets in July and August to performers. But this year, many students have not stated when they're moving out, and some of them are leaving as early as May. So because landlords don't want to leave their flats empty until July or August, many are arranging new tenancies from May and have decided not to rent their property during the festival at all, as it means they would be operating at a loss.
Edlets are a booking platform for short-term accommodation and have been organising accommodation for fringe artists for 19 years.
Now, the latest sport highlights on Radio Energy.
Chief Executive of Hibernian Football Club, Leanne Dempster, has made the decision to ban 3 fans from Easter Road following separate incidents that involved Celtic Scott Sinclair and Rangers captain James Tavernier. In the first incident, a glass bottle was thrown from Hib supporters in the direction of Scott Sinclair on Saturday the 2nd of March. Almost a week later, during a Hibs versus Rangers match, a fan was able to make his way onto the pitch to confront James Tavernier. Leanne Dempster has voiced her frustration.
what's going to be in the back pages of the newspapers tomorrow, and we're going to have this narrative of the Scottish game in chaos, when actually what it is it's individuals not taking responsibility. And I think we need to remember that these people have to take responsibility for their actions, and if they don't take responsibility, then we'll make them take responsibility.
Superintendent Barry Blair of Police Scotland said in a statement, "It is extremely disappointing to see such acts of disorder disrupt a football match." He added, "This type of behaviour would not be tolerated." The head of Formula One, Charlie Whiting, has died at the age of 66, just days before the Australian Grand Prix was due to begin. Whiting was the official race starter and oversaw all rules matters in F1. In athletics, the World Anti-Doping Agency, President Craig Reedy, claims that unity will be his strength. He was criticised for lifting a three-year ban on a Russian athlete in September last year. Olympic swimmer Hannah Miley has been named the official ambassador of the LEN Short Course Swimming Championships, which will be held in Glasgow later this year. Miley has won multiple 400-metre races in her career and is looking forward to competing at the highest level in Scotland again. Also in football, Liverpool have become the fourth British team in the quarter-finals of the Champions League after a 3-1 win over Bayern Munich last night. This is the first time four British teams have been in the final eight of the Champions League since 2009. After last night's match, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp shared his delight.
"We are back, so good. Let's carry on. We have a lot to improve, we have a lot to develop, we have a lot to learn, but we are back and I like that fact."
That was Kerry Pollock with this afternoon's sport. Just when we thought that it couldn't get any more confusing, there has been a new update in the Brexit drama. Now a no deal is off the table, a vote on extending Article 50 is on the table, and a notion to bring the vote back to the people is being discussed in Parliament today. In case you're a little lost in the Brexit plot, here's a quick recap for the Brexit journey from start to beginning.
"The British people have voted to leave the European Union, and their will must be respected.
Ladies and gentlemen, dare to dream that the dawn is breaking on an independent, united kingdom.
The British people have made a very clear decision to take a different path, and as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction.
I have just been to Buckingham Palace, where Her Majesty the Queen has asked me to form a new government, and I accepted. For leaving the European Union presents us with a unique opportunity. It is this generation's chance to shape a brighter future for our country.
There is nothing to win in this process, and I'm talking about both sides. In essence, this is about damage control.
Brexit means Brexit.
So the message today to Theresa May is that she has lost her moral and political authority.
Eyes to the right, 202. The noes to the left, 432.
Speaker, the result of tonight's vote is the greatest defeat for a government since the 1920s in this House.
The deal honours the referendum result and is good for both the UK and the EU. Having an insurance policy to guarantee that there will never be a hard border in Northern Ireland is absolutely right.
Eyes to the right, 242. The noes to the left, 391.
The House has today provided a clear majority against leaving without a deal.
Order!
Did that do the trick? If not, our reporter Rebecca Axrup has the full Brexit update.
Another day, another Brexit vote. Last night's vote in Parliament resulted in no deal off the table. Today, they're discussing whether or not to bring the vote back to the public. Tonight, the vote will be on whether or not to extend Article 50, postponing UK's departure from the EU. In the midst of confusing talks, I am joined by four students at the Apex Cafe in Edinburgh to discuss how they feel about Brexit. Chinese student Hannah is not particularly worried about Brexit.
I think it's more about the international business. For our family, we don't think there are a lot of problems.
Norwegian student Mathilde is also assured that Brexit will not have a dramatic impact on her life in the UK.
As a student, for me, and nothing's gonna change because I started studying in the UK before Brexit. So Theresa May was in Norway this fall and reassured the Prime Minister that it wouldn't affect the students that's here now.
Pedro, an Erasmus student from Spain, on the other hand, is concerned that travelling will become more difficult.
I think it's going to be more expensive, or you will need a passport or something. Like, for example, I don't have a passport now. I just travel with my ID. So I think it's going to be, like travel and flights are going to be expensive.
Of course. Irish student Carl is equally anxious about the uncertainty Brexit will bring to his future in the field of television.
Especially up the north, there's kind of a lot of talk about a border being introduced and kind of what that overall, I think it is having a big impact. Now I want to work freelance in TV, so if I try to work over here, it might have an impact on my career in the future.
I also spoke with Dr. Alan Wager, a research associate for the UK in a Changing Europe, an academic resource group that puts together independent research. I asked Dr. Wager what will happen tonight.
If MPs vote against the referendum, then the vote will still go ahead tonight on extending Article 50. So, and it's likely that MPs are going to vote down a referendum at this stage. There's just still not quite the numbers in the House of Commons to back referendum. So it's likely we're still going to see this vote on Article 50. And it's likely that MPs will vote to extend the Article 50 process. How long for, we don't know. That's a question that we're going to have to try and work out over the next week when Theresa May goes to Brussels and tries to...
The vote tonight will only decide whether or not they will extend it. It won't decide how long they'll extend it for?
Yeah, Theresa May... The vote tonight is just on the concept of extension. It doesn't give a specified time. Theresa May's going to have to come back to the House of Commons and get that extension then agreed again by the House of Commons.
Yes. So concept of extension, it's quite a vague discussion here, isn't it?
It's one of those things, because it's entirely possible. Well, Theresa May has said if her deal is voted down, so there's going to be another attempt next week before the European Council to get her deal through. She's saying to those right-wing Eurosceptic MPs, look, I'm about to negotiate an extension. You need to back me on my vote, or we're going to get this extension. You know, it's possible then they could, So then we're essentially going to go to Brussels. If she negotiates a long extension, it's far from clear that would be able to get through the House of Commons. Then we could be in a situation where we're really talking about no deal. If there's no extension and no deal and no agreement in place, then we are heading for a no deal. So it's all...
All right, but the vote last night, didn't that put no deal off the table, essentially?
So the vote last night on no deal, again, showed the MPs and a lot of... and including cabinet ministers in the government, are really strongly against no deal, that they're willing to go against the whip of the government. And this was a bit of a constitutional moment. Yet, the only way no deal can happen is if it all happens by accident, by a series of mistakes, by people in government, by people in Europe. So that's still possible. It's clear that there's not a majority of people that want no deal, but that doesn't mean that legally and constitutionally it won't still happen. I think there's still a strong possibility that a no deal could happen just, and the UK could fall out of the European Union just by accident.
What will happen tonight then? You think that they'll extend Article 50?
So tonight it looks nearly certain that votes on a referendum are probably going to go down in the House of Commons and not succeed. And there's then going to be this vote on whether or not the UK should extend Article 50. I think that's likely to pass, because it's so vague and because MPs don't have to choose the exact length. They're probably going to say, go ahead and get an extension. This allows us to delay making the really tough decisions. And that's what MPs don't want to do. They don't want to have to come to the resolution of, the ultimate resolution is we either vote for a deal, which will look a lot like Theresa May's, or we go and revoke Article 50 and have a referendum, or we go for no deal. That's still the big choice. MPs still haven't come to a decision on that. That's why an extension of Article 50 is likely to have a majority in the House of Commons tonight.
As the Brexit plot thickens, so does the confusion and uncertainty.
Lauren Edgar joins me now to discuss some further news.
The brother of a man who was killed when his car was hit by a vehicle has spoken about the incident. Nicholas Semenya has spoken about the attack which led to his brother's death. Lionel Semenya's body was found last Thursday off Gorgie Road in the west end of Edinburgh. He was said to have been sleeping in his car when it was hit by a stolen vehicle. Police are treating his death as murder. Nicholas Semenya appeared at a Police Scotland press conference and appealed for information.
As a family, we urge anyone with information to come forward and contact the police so that you can start grieving.
A 15-year-old boy from Musselburgh has become the 100th child to receive a kidney transplant from a living donor. Stephen Gallagher received a kidney donation from his own mother, Cheryl, at Glasgow's Royal Hospital for Children. Stephen became unwell a few weeks after he was born. During an interview with The Scotsman, he said, "I'm grateful for this. I've been waiting since I was 5 weeks old." Surgeons have been preparing since 2015 to give Stephen a kidney transplant. Tests were carried out to determine whether his mother or father would be the most suitable donor for him. 4 years later, he is finally in recovery after the life-changing surgery. Italian police have revealed that a painting stolen from a church on Wednesday was actually a fake, planted by the local police after rumours of a heist circulated. The crucifixion by Flemish Renaissance artist Peter Bruegel the Younger is a 17th century painting depicting Christ on the cross and is said to be worth around £3 million. Thieves smashed the display case with hammers, unaware they were being watched by police who installed CCTV to catch them out. The real masterpiece had been swapped out and was safe behind locked doors. 16-year-old climate campaigner Greta Thunberg has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. The Swedish teenager began a solo protest last year outside the Swedish Parliament with a sign that read, "School Strike for Climate." Thunberg has since founded the Youth Strike for Climate movement, inspiring global action and the hashtag Fridays for Future student movement. Tomorrow is expected to be the busiest day of action so far, with strikes planned in more than 1,500 towns and cities in over 100 countries. Thunberg was invited to speak at the 2018 World Economic Forum in Davos, where she gained worldwide press attention.
Adults keep saying, "We owe it to the young people to give them hope." But I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic.
Still to come, we'll be taking a look at the newly announced plans for the £70 million refurbishment of Edinburgh's Botanical Gardens, the murder charges found against a former British soldier who was killed two people on Bloody Sunday in Londonderry in 1972, the demand for investigations into the link between social media and poor mental health in young people, and International Pi Day. Edinburgh's Royal Botanical Garden is to undergo a multi-million pounds transformation to protect one of the world's rarest plant collections in hopes of remaining one of the top four botanic gardens in the world. Our reporter Eve Wames has more information.
The Botanic Gardens will undergo a £70 million transformation. By 2025, the glasshouse will no longer be able to protect the plant collection. Many of the plants in the greenhouse are extinct or endangered. The Botanic Gardens have more than 13,000 species of plant in four gardens, including some that are extinct in the wild and others that are new to science. Now we are speaking to Shona Hay, Media Manager at Royal Botanic Edinburgh. She provides more details about the restoration.
The reason I'm bringing you here is because probably the element of the development that the public will notice most is a new glasshouse that will be built outside the front range on the main lawn. It will create a walkway between the arid house at the end of the front range and the herbarium where the science is conducted, and it will be a whole new visitor facility. The original reason for building the new glasshouse is because everything in the existing glasshouses has to be decanted so that we can work from one end to the other. So a lot of the decanting will happen in the new house. We won't close them for 7 years. There will come a point when, for the health and safety and for the safety of the plants, we have to get on. But during that period, we intend to offer as much interpretation as possible to let people see what we're doing and try to explain why we're doing it.
The main funders for the restorations is the Scottish Government. The Botanic Gardens also need to raise their own funds. There is a new director of fundraising and a team that have begun discussions with major donors.
A former British soldier has been charged for the Bloody Sunday murders. It was announced at 11 o'clock this morning by Northern Ireland Public Prosecution Service in Londonderry. Our correspondent Amy Flett has the story.
One ex-British soldier is to be prosecuted for two murders and four attempted murders that took place on Bloody Sunday. It follows investigations into the death of 13 unarmed civilians who were shot during a civil rights march in Londonderry in 1972. Prosecutors did not find significant evidence to convict any of the other 16 paratroopers or two alleged ex-IRA members.
A decision has been taken to prosecute one former soldier, Soldier F, for the murder of James Ray and for the murder of William McKinney. Charges will also be brought for the attempted murder of Joseph Friel, Michael Quinn, Joe Mahon, and Patrick O'Donnell. In respect of the other suspects reported to us by police, including 16 former soldiers and two alleged official IRA members, it has been concluded that the available evidence is insufficient to provide a reasonable prospect of conviction.
That was Director of Public Prosecutions Stephen Herring addressing the decision. Family members came together this morning in Derry to seek justice for loved ones lost 47 years ago. John Kelly's brother, Michael, was killed during the march. He was 17 years old.
We have walked a long journey since our fathers and brothers were brutally slaughtered on the streets of Derry on Bloody Sunday. Over that passage of time, all the parents of the deceased have died. We are here to take their place.
Yesterday afternoon, Facebook, Instagram, and Google users faced connectivity issues. Users said they could not refresh their newsfeed, log into their accounts, and were unable to send emails nor post. Social media is used on a daily basis. The interruption of services not only paralyzed the digital world for 16 hours, but raised the question of social networking's impact on users' dependencies. Our correspondent, Saoirse Cordwell, reports.
On Wednesday late afternoon, users across the globe were unable to access their social media. Similar problems came up on Gmail, Maps and Drive at roughly the same time. Those affected by the outages were unable to send emails receiving an error message. Earlier this morning, Instagram tweeted they were back, while reports of disruption on Facebook declined significantly. This digital disturbance is similar to a long line of outages that Facebook and other companies have faced. Professor of Cybersecurity in the School of Computing at Edinburgh Napier University, Bill Buchanan, explains to us what this outage means.
It shows that the information infrastructure that we've actually created is not quite as reliable as we might think, and not quite as resilient. Think like it or not, we've moved our traditional paper-based world into an electronic world, and we're now highly dependent upon these big cloud service providers who are based in the US.
Facebook is still in maintenance, and users are still venting their frustration. Twitter blew up after Facebook ceased to work with hashtag Facebook down trending. One tweeter expressed frustration by stating, "This Facebook outage is annoying because I do 90% of my business on there. It has also made me realise that I need another way to do business, as I cannot depend on Facebook for all business inquiries forever." While other social media giants have experienced these technical difficulties, Facebook has not had to deal with a drawback on this scale since 2008. Facebook are yet to make a statement explaining the shutdown.
This shutdown has shed a light on the strong ties between social media and mental health. In 2018, the NHS reported that 91% of 16 to 24-year-olds in the UK use the internet and other social networking sites regularly. In fact, a Salford University study showed that 50% of Scottish social media users claimed that they were addicted to these sites. Although social media can connect people from all over the world and provide a strong sense of community, rates of anxiety and depression in young people have increased by 70% over the last 25 years. Today is International Pi Day, celebrating the mathematical number that is pi. As it reaches the 10th anniversary of Pi Day, people are celebrating in many different ways. Our correspondent, Chloe Wright, reports.
3.141592.
Today is International Pi Day. The revelation of Pi is an ongoing discovery within the maths world, with new numbers always coming to light. Pi Day originated in 2009, making today the 10-year anniversary of the occasion. This day has been dedicated to Pi, as it is the 14th day of the third month, and Pi rounded to two decimal places is 3.14. There is still a lot of confusion around Pi, and people still wonder about the significance of the number. However, still to this day, it is used for many things such as infrastructure. We spoke to Edinburgh University Maths and Statistics student Ali O'Mani to find out more about Pi.
Basically, it is the ratio of the circumference of a circle to its diameter, right? And that just means, like, if you were to take a circle, like a big bit of string in the circle, and then stretch it out, and then a bit of string for like the diameter of the circle, just like the length of it, the big one would be pi times as big as the smaller one. So it's just over 3 times as big. That is pretty much what pi is. When you get to like the 40th digit, like 40 decimal places, you can, what was it, NASA said, you can measure the circumference of like the entire universe to the accuracy of like a hydrogen atom. The universe is like 46 billion light years big or something, and hydrogen atoms are tiny. So I think after you get 40, it's pretty pointless.
Across the nation, people are celebrating Pi Day in their own way, whether it be schools holding events or people baking pies. However, Ali will be celebrating in classic student fashion.
You don't sit and like do extra sums, do you? That's just boring. Just, I don't know, go to the pub. Can't spell pints without pie.
Chloe Wright, reporting for Energy Radio News.
Now, the weather on Radio Energy.
Tonight, it will be a bright and blustery day with a few scattered showers, most frequently in the west. These showers will be especially wintry on the hills. Tonight, a few showers in the evening and the start of the night, these merging to give longer spells of rain and hill snow throughout the early hours. Tonight's minimum temperatures are Stranraer, 6 degrees Celsius with an 80% chance of rain. Dumfries, 6 degrees with a 60% chance of rain. Harwich, 5 degrees with a 60% chance of rain. And Edinburgh, 6 degrees, also with a 60% chance of rain. And now for today's closing headlines. Today's closing headlines are: councillors have voted to extend the city's tram service from the city centre to New Haven. This means that plans will go ahead to extend the tram tracks and will start the 3-year period of construction work in New Haven. MPs will vote tonight on whether or not to extend Article 50, possibly delaying the UK's exit from the EU until June. There will also be an additional vote in government this evening on whether the public should get another Brexit referendum. It's been found that there is a strong link between social media use and poor mental health in young people. MSPs are requesting further research into the issue, and the boss of the Edinburgh Fringe has asked residents to consider housing performers in order to cut down on the high cost of running the festival. You've been listening to Radio Energy News. On behalf of myself and all of today's contributing journalists, thank you for listening and good evening.
This is Radio Energy. Edinburgh Napier Radio Group. Talk, tunes, tales and talent. From Edinburgh to you.